The show you're about to hear is a rebroadcast of one that aired on November 27, 2005. On that show, Rick interviewed Sharon Widener. Sharon knew she had terminal cancer and tells how the Word of God has equipped her to face the inevitable results. On September the 6th, Sharon was promoted to be face-to-face with her Lord.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. You're invited to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It might be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Remember, this show is about education, motivation, and inspiration, and always, and I say always, without any manipulation. We have nothing to sell, and at no time do we ever request money. So just sit back and listen and learn how you can let the tremendous resources of God's riches deliver you from stress and time of adversity. The term flatline, and you know we use this for the name of our show, the term flatline is a military acronym, and it stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And as you learn the Word of God and deploy the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul, this keeps the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. And we are certainly praying that you are learning these fantastic principles of the Word of God as you continue to listen to this radio show every week. It's been my privilege to bring it to you for the last 20-some-odd weeks, and it is our prayer that we'll be able to continue to do this for you in the future. Now, God has provided certain promises and principles that, when believed and adhered to, will give you fantastic happiness, even in the middle of unbelievable adversity. Now, remember, if you'd ever like to contact me, you can do so by the World Wide Web. Simply go to your web browser and type in www.bigrick.org. That's all it is, www.bigrick.org. And when you do that, you'll go to my website, and once into the website, you'll see an icon that says Email Big Rick. Click on that icon, and you can send me an email, and I'll be sure to answer that quickly. You may want to write to me by means of just the U.S. mail, and you can do that also by writing to Big Rick at Post Office Box 100, and that's in Cropwell, Alabama. Big Rick, Post Office Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. The zip code for Cropwell, Alabama is 35054. And whatever you do, now don't send money. We don't need money. We just would be love to hear from you. If you'd like to have one of our books, we'll be glad to send that book to you free of charge. We've written several books that we distribute over the years to schools as we talk to students in high schools. And our latest book is Crash Course in Basic Christianity. And you can have this book as well as Christian Problem Solving, which deals with the 10 problem-solving devices that we've been talking about on the air for the last 20-some-odd weeks. So feel free to contact us if you would like to. Now, we're going to have a special guest today, and I'm very privileged to introduce this guest to you. This is going to be, you know, I told you from time to time we would interview people that have gone from tragedy to triumph in their life. Well, today we're going to interview Sharon Widener from Chesapeake, Virginia. Sharon is a wonderful friend of mine, and I will tell you that if you go to my website, bigrick.org, and you enter that website, you'll see her handiwork. Sharon is a web designer, and she's designed most all of my website. She works with her husband at Grace Media Ministries, and they also have a private web hosting business in the Chesapeake Bay Area, but they do web hosting for businesses all across the United States. And Sharon, let me take this opportunity to welcome you to the Flatline here at WERC in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate being here and the invitation.
We're so glad you chose to be with us by the telephone. And we got a lot of questions to ask you, and we want to tell the people what you're going through.
Okay.
And I especially want to ask you one very important question. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I am.
And do you know when exactly you became a Christian? Was it something that happened, a distinct change in your life, or did you grow up hearing about Christ and believing in Christ as a youngster?
Well, you know, Rick, I could never put my finger on the very first time that I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I was raised in a church, but it wasn't until I became an adult, I was 24 years old, and I was introduced to a tape ministry. And as I began listening to those tapes, I realized that it was faith alone and Christ alone, and I had put my trust in Him. I had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I did the first time, I do not know, but I did make sure after I listened to those tapes that I did.
Well, I think those are the same tapes that I heard when I was about 23 years old, and that was the pastor of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. We affectionately call him the Colonel because he was a retired lieutenant colonel from the old Army Air Corps, but he pastored his church for 53 years in Houston, Texas, and that's Baraka Church. Am I correct about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, just like you, he has been my human mentor, and so he's the one that accurately gave you the gospel and you believed in Christ through his ministry. Is that correct?
Well, like I said, I found out that I needed to do that, and before that, I had walked some aisles and raised some hands and expressed some volition, but I hadn't gotten the accurate gospel and realized that it was only through faith alone in Christ alone until that time. But it was the Word of God. I made sure that I simply believed in Christ and nothing more. And it was the Word of God and listening to His teaching that changed my life, prepared me for what I'm facing right now.
Well, I know that one of the things people that aren't exactly sure about is their eternal security. And I'll bet you that when you understood that, when you made that decision to believe in Christ, you never doubted again for a moment that you were going to heaven. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
I know that's what so many people, they worry about that, and especially people that don't understand faith alone in Christ alone. And as they try to manufacture their own righteousness, they never can quite do it good enough, you know what I mean? And so they always doubt if they're really saved. Understand that, don't you?
That's right.
Well, you know, I want to let our listeners know what you're going through right now.
Okay.
Recently, Sharon was diagnosed with lung cancer. And it is terminal and it's non-operable lung cancer. Now, Sharon, when you first discovered you had this inoperable disease, how did that affect you?
Well, originally, I was having some breathing problems, and I didn't realize I had cancer, but I had breathing problems, and that I tried to medicate myself. I wasn't able to help my situation. So I wasn't looking forward to going to the doctor, to be honest with you, because I knew this was serious, and I was very much aware that I was one ill lady, and that I would probably end up in the hospital.
So you were like so many of us, you just hated going to the doctor, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't want to go, but it came to the point where I realized that I had to. I had no other choice. And
once you got to the doctor, how soon were they able to diagnose exactly what the problem was?
Actually, it wasn't immediate. They did that very day put me in the hospital, and I went through some tests. I went through some procedures to relieve my breathing symptom, which it was a needle that they put in my back. It's called thoracentesis, where they put a needle and they draw out fluid. And this fluid, my lung had partially collapsed, and this fluid was putting pressure on my heart and on my breathing and jeopardizing my digestive process. It was pretty serious, but they relieved the symptoms enough that I went home after 4 days in the hospital, and then it wasn't until about a week later that I found out that I absolutely had cancer.
Now, when the doctor told you this, did he tell you all at one time that it was inoperable, that it was cancer, that it was terminal? I mean, how did he tell you this, and how did you handle this? What I'm interested in for the people that may be listening to us today is, you know, you can handle this from the human side or the spiritual side. I know you had the resources in your soul with the Word of God. How did that sustain you when the doctor divulged this information to you?
Well, Rick, this may sound pretty unbelievable. Once I was had gone to the hospital and had walked through that door, so to speak, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, was definitely something I was very aware of. I was relaxed about it. I was relaxed about finding out that I had cancer, and I was relaxed knowing that God was going to choose the time, manner, and place of my death. My initial fear of going to the, I would call it a fear. It was more of a dread.
Yes.
It was, I really just didn't want to go type of thing, to go to the hospital initially, but it was such a blessing to be there. And I knew that it was the right decision and that I was in the right place, that, and that God was in control. And one of my favorite scriptures is Joshua 1:9, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I knew that included the hospital.
Wow. So you had the provision of the promises of the Word of God in your soul that actually prepared you for this. And you said you were relaxed about it. Now,
yes.
I know that to be a relaxed mental attitude. And this is a tremendous resource. It comes from the Word of God. Even though adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. And you didn't have any stress over this, did you?
No. I like I said, once I had accepted the fact that I was going to have to be in the hospital, I had no qualms about my death or dying or anything of that nature whatsoever. It's been a blessing, Rick.
Well, your husband,
tremendous things from the God has been faithful to me, and He's going to be faithful to everyone. And that's, you know, the provision is there before I got there.
Oh, wow. The Lord had everything in place before you ever came to that point in time.
Absolutely.
Now, you are married, and Ed is a...
Yes.
Tell me about how Ed handled all of this. And I know he loves the Lord, and the scriptures that you learned he had as well. And as a husband and wife, and a husband that's facing losing his wife to cancer, but knows that he will be joined with her again one day, there's objective optimism about all of this. So how was Ed handling all of this?
Well, you know, I honestly wish you could ask him that personally, because I don't like to speak for anyone else, but the Word of God has handled it for him also.
That's wonderful.
And
that means when you say handle it, you mean that, and this is what I often think about.
I'm saying God handled it.
Yeah. No fear.
Pardon?
No fear.
No.
No fear and no bitterness in your soul.
No.
That's wonderful.
But he wasn't just jumping up and down for joy that this is happening.
Right.
You know, and it was it definitely has been a test. You know, that we're not going to say that these things aren't a test, that they aren't a challenge. But we have a choice when we face these things. We can believe God and His Word and His promises, or we can fall apart in panic. And I just think life's too short to fall apart in panic. And I chose to believe the Word of God, and He has too. And that has been what has sustained us.
That's fantastic.
I don't know how to say it.
No, you're saying it perfect. When people fall apart in panic, what they do when they learn this sort of information is their emotions take over.
Yes.
They get full of despair and fear and worry. And oftentimes that turns into bitterness. And I have seen people die so bitter. They were bitter at God for letting them have a disease, or bitter about to something in their life that they weren't able to get over. The wonderful thing about the problem-solving devices of the Word of God that you were able to utilize and deploy in your soul, just like I've been teaching our friends here in Birmingham, is that it gave you this objective optimism and this joy in your heart, and you had a relaxed mental attitude that you've just told us about, so that there was absolutely no fear. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
That's wonderful. Now, when a person faces death like you, what do you think about dying and what do you think about death?
When I face death, what do I think?
Yes.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind that God has chosen, and whether that's today or tomorrow or a year from now, He has chosen the time, the place, and the manner of my death. I've studied the Job, in Job, where...
this is where God promises...
He was facing the death of a lot of his family members. And he was able to say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And we also have the scripture about the corn, that God... I think that's Job 5:26. He will come to the grave in a full age in God's perfect timing, like a shock of corn comes in its season. That He knows when that full time is. No one else does on this earth. Not even a doctor. A doctor can tell you, like He told me, that, like, in fact, it was a she, that I have probably between 4 to 6 months to live here back in August. And that I needed to, you know, get my things in order as far as if there was anything I needed to do before that time came. So, but I knew that whether it was a day or a month or a year, that God was going to make that choice, not my disease. That's
yes.
Bigger than cancer.
Absolutely.
And not the doctors, and not my own wishes or desires, but I can rest in knowing that it's going to be His perfect choice and that there can't be anything better for me.
Absolutely. Well, that's the sovereign will of God in that circumstance in your life. And you know something I want to make very clear here is that many people think when you die it's over, and it's not over.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No. What do you look forward to on the other side? Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I'm going to be face-to-face with the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. I am going to behold Him in all His glory.
That's going to be something that we are, I guess we're all going to be amazed when we make the transfer. So many people think, well, you die. You know, that's an illusion in the fact that the soul simply leaves the body. The soul never dies. And you and I, we're going to get an interim body that will sustain us until we get our resurrection body.
Face to face, body there.
And I just can't imagine what it's going to be like looking at Jesus Christ face to face. I'm sure we'll find ourselves prostrate on the floor of heaven, and we will see the angels, and we'll see other believers that went before us. A lot of people don't realize this, but when you die, you take your mentality with you, your soul. Your mentality is part of your soul.
Uh-huh.
And when you die, you think in heaven just like you thought on earth. And so people say, well, I recognize people in heaven. Well, obviously they won't be in the same body. But I think you will be able to recognize certain individuals by what they say. Or you might not recognize what they look like, but I may see you in heaven and I may say, Sharon, is that you? And you'll say, well, yes, it's me. And it's just going to be phenomenal. You'll be in heaven face to face with the Lord. No more tear, no more sorrow, no more pain. The Bible promises all of that to us, where the old things have passed away and the all things have become new. And like every other believer in the church age that died before you, you'll be awaiting that resurrection body when Jesus Christ comes back to this planet. It's what we call, affectionately call, the rapture, the exit resurrection, when He comes back to call His own. Won't that be a moment? And you'll be on the other side of history watching it, and those that are alive and remain on this planet will be in the time side, from the time continuum watching it. You'll have the spectacular viewpoint.
Absolutely. Except, you know, I am still here on Earth.
Well, I don't want to put you there too soon, do I?
Yeah, so don't put me too soon.
Well, forgive me. I don't mean to do that.
No, that's okay. You know, I'm just thinking, as you're saying that, I'm saying, you know, this is not a hard fact. The rapture, the exit resurrection is, certainly. But we don't know when that's going to be.
No, you're exactly right.
And it appears that I shall be in heaven when it occurs, but we don't know that.
Well, you're exactly right.
Never know that.
Forgive me for being so bold as to say that, but
That's okay.
It could happen today.
That's okay. It seems that way.
It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow.
I don't know.
That's one of the problems we have in our society today is when weirdos decide that they want to put a timeline and they begin to try to predict prophecy in light of current events. And when they do that, then you know right away that they're not authentic or they're not original from the Word of God, because Jesus said no man can tell you the hour of the day. So I would always advise any of our listeners, if somebody is selling prophecy or wanting you to buy into some sort of prophecy catalog, or just stay clear of that stuff, because all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and learn the Word of God. And don't worry about the non-essentials. They'll all happen soon enough. But there's a plan for God for you right now while you're still on this planet that is phenomenal, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And your life has been one of service to the Lord. I know that. The tremendous things you've done for our organization and preparing our website. So if you could say something to our listeners today, if you could give a challenge, there may be people out there that have the same sort of scenario, the difficulties that you're facing. What would you say to them if you were talking to them face to face?
The power of God and His Word meets every circumstance in life. And having that power in your soul, there's nothing more important. And it comes to a point when that's the only thing that you have left to rely on. And, hey, that's great, because you're relying on the greatest thing that there ever could be. But it has to be in your soul. And the only way you can get it in your soul is to listen. And listen to someone who rightly divides the word of truth. And then when you understand it through the enabling teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, you believe that, it becomes a part of your soul and your spiritual life and your spiritual growth, and it becomes available to you to recall through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to meet whatever circumstance this life has to offer.
You know, people don't quite understand this when I say that a pastor is one of the most important people in your life. Because without sitting under the authority of a qualified pastor, well, you're never going to learn the information that sustains you in times of adversity like this. People often think that all they have to do is just pick up their Bible and read a verse or two every day, and that's enough. But that is not spiritual growth. And many, many people don't understand that their spiritual life is the most important part about them, that it's very important that they grow spiritually after they believe in Jesus Christ. That's why God prepared men who had the gift of pastor-teacher. And that's why it's essential that folks like you and me, that we get under a qualified pastor who will be willing to study and teach, study and teach. And as he studies and teaches the Word of God, then he makes us rich spiritually, because the Bible says we have this treasure in our earthly bodies. And sharing the word treasure is a Greek word called thesaurus. It's a word treasure. And the pastor who goes into the gold mines of the Bible and digs out the word treasure and gives it to us, as I've heard you give it back to me today, you've given me scripture that has enriched your life, then he is a wonderful man, because he has equipped us to face whatever adversity we come to in this life. And so I can say, just like you would say, that people must find a pastor if they're hungry to learn the Word of God, and not someone that's going to play games and hold their hand and go through ritual without reality. I see so much of this in our society today. Wonderful churches, beautiful buildings, but there's no instruction going forth. Have you seen that as well in your location?
Well, in a way, I'd like to say yes, but not here so much in Chesapeake. We kind of stick at home.
Well, I know you
have been out and about. But, yes, there have been times when I've been out in about in the world and been in that type of environment, but
Explain something, Sharon. Explain to our listeners, when you say you stick at home, tell them how you study the Bible every day. Tell them what your routine is.
Well, we have, here in our home, we listen to tape recording lessons of RBC Jr., and our home is open and available to those in, well, from wherever, but in the Hampton Roads area. It's Bracket Church. We call it Bracket Church of Hampton Roads, and we listen to RBC Jr. Bible tapes. I'm trying to find the website that we have one page up that just tells the dates and times. We did, because of my illness, we have only our meeting on Sunday mornings as far as having the public available, 9:30 in the morning on Sunday, and we also make available recording tapes if they want the rest of the Bible lessons during the week.
One of the things, can you hear me?
Yes.
One of the things I want people to understand is that you don't have to be sitting in a church to grow spiritually.
No.
Yes, that's what I want people to understand, that you have grown in your home as you listened to a pastor of a church, but you did it in a non-face-to-face manner. You listened to recordings in your home, since that church was a couple of thousand miles away.
Yes.
Yeah. And how many years had you been doing this?
For me, I've been since 1974.
Wow. That's close to 30 years, my girl.
Yes.
30 years of taking in the Word of God.
Yes. And
it's just absolutely amazing when you face a situation like you face, the substantial difference in your life as a mature believer when you face this, to where you have this joy and this peace. And it's a tremendous thing. And I'll use a term. I know you know what the term is. Our listeners may have heard me use it before, but it's a term called dying grace.
Oh, yes.
Dying grace. Explain what that means to us, to you, in just a few minutes.
Well, of course, I'm not a pastor teacher or anything like that, but God provides for living, and God provides for dying, and when I come to the dying phase of my life, God has He has chosen when that will be, and He has provided everything for every step of my dying, whether that is a year or whether that takes 5 minutes. He has provided everything for every step of the way. He's provided the potential for having greater blessings in dying than you ever imagined in the living phase. In the living phase, we have opportunities and make many choices. In the dying phase, God makes choices for us. He makes many choices for us that we wouldn't have ever thought of making ourselves. And one of the things that I think of, and I do not know at what point a person, I myself, I can't say I have entered the dying phase. I have become aware that my death is imminent, that it's imminent, that it can happen anytime.
Sharon, let me interrupt you here.
Yes.
Before we run out of time. We're about to close out here, but you are making it crystal clear that God in dying grace provides every asset you need. And I understand that. You have done a wonderful job. Thank you. Thank you so very much for giving us this information today. Please stay with me here. Don't go anywhere. As I close out with our listeners today, I want to remind you now, if you're listening to our radio show and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. By listening to Sharon Widener's story, you can see how the grace of God has sustained her, how He saved her, how He's given her phenomenal opportunities in life, and now phenomenal opportunities in death. So if you've never believed in Jesus Christ, you can do that today. It's a simple act of faith by simply telling God the Father that you believe Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son, and you're willing to accept his finished work on the cross on your behalf. When you do that, that's salvation, that's faith, and that's why the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
You've been listening to The Flatline with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Flatline with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.